good. Very fitting. Tom, it's been a long time, brother.
Catching up to beat.
I was just listening to Grace this morning because she's in band camp going full throttle on that time of year where they do their 9-to-9s. And, you know, I think every high school student appreciates the band when they sit back and reflect on how hard those kids work. And, you know, she was talking about one of the kids kind of critiquing and helping and say, hey, don't come in on the backside of the beat if you want.
And oh, absolutely not. I can air drum with the best of them. You should see me air guitar.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, everybody, we are here. We are live. We alert. We are alert. We feel great. It is August 4th, 2022. Tom and Q Show. I am Tom. This is Q. We are ready to rock and roll by Led Zeppelin.
8-4. Is that like a, you know, you got May the 4th be with you, and there's a few other 8-4. Too long.
Is today a special day?
I don't know.
Skyline Chili Day? Or anything like
8-4 way? Something?
How are we on sound?
I am pulling that up right now. So
if you can look, we've got a new toy. And since Q's gotten here, he caught me eating Jelly Belly jelly beans. He was not aware of all the assortment of different flavors or the fact that you can mix jelly beans to get certain flavors. And ever since I found that out, I find myself trying to mix certain things to come up with my own type of concoction.
Yeah.
Right? So if you see us break up and start talking about flavors and everything, it's probably because we either really liked one or really didn't like one.
Yeah, the buttery popcorn, a little overwhelming. Root beer leaves to be desired. That's a good color green right there, Tom.
That's sour apple, I bet. Or lime.
That is sour apple.
Yeah, I think I wish they'd write it on.
I think the one with the dots is
lime.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this is the lime. It's like a lighter shade of green. See, this is where we went to here. Anyway, we're back. We're here. Every week we like to talk about some type of real estate topic. And you had an interesting one kind of brought up when you're talking about, you know, kind of as the market shift a little bit. Looking for, in your opinion, first and foremost?
Yeah, because we get put in the lane and the price points keep getting higher and higher and higher. So what you're used to getting in 3 years ago. So, and it's, there's still an adjusting period, especially for the consumer who does this, what, 5 times in their lifetime? So we see it every day, but they see it every 7 to 10 years. So what, once they set out on that path, what they expected to find for, you know, 250 or 350 or name your price point, they were a little disappointed at first. It's like, man, I was expecting more house at this price. It's like, well, the market shifted and you're like, you know, I've heard it, but I don't really realize it until you see it in person. It's like, yeah, you know, some of these houses are left to be desired from what we expect. So it's, you know, my good gauge, my good rule is certain things can be fixed. You can't add on, right? So it's, you know, when we walk through the house, it's, you know, what are the priorities? You find out those quick. You'll find a nicely finished, polished house, but it might be a little undersized or it might not have the yard that you desired. So there's going to be that trade-off. You're going to go into a house that needs a little work, but man, it's got a great upside because it's the square footage I want or the yard I want. So it's, something's got to give.
Well, especially now.
Yes.
Because we've talked about this in the past where you had buyers that were, you know, looking at a $400,000 house.
Yes.
And that $400,000 house may have had pretty much everything that they wanted.
Yep.
You know, rates go up. People can, you know, money has become more expensive. They can't afford maybe that $400,000 house anymore. So maybe they're looking at that $300,000 house. And that's a pretty big difference when you're talking about what is in the house. So that trade-off may come with, yes, we're going to pay a little bit less than what we were before. The house may not be in as clean or customized shape that we want.
Right.
But for $300,000, it's still a good house.
Yes. Yes. And does it have an upside? And then it's just, you know, try to go through the progressions of, is it a good home, right? And you hear it a lot. Does it have good bones? You know, go down, walk around the basement, make sure the walls aren't collapsing in and caving in. Mm-hmm. You know, walk around the outside, make sure you're not, you know, the corner windows, make sure you don't see staircase cracks and, you know, go into the corner of the house. Just kind of give it a good survey of settling issues to make sure that the house structurally is sound. And we're not engineers, but, you know, some of these things you can tell by eye. When you go in a basement and the wall is, you know, bowing in, mm-hmm. it's like, this probably needs a little bit of love. But, hey, you know, all in all, it's a good structured house. It's good bones, maybe dated, but it's taken care of. Start there. Like, am I buying a good piece of property? Second is your big ticket items. You know, what's the age of the roof? What's the age of the HVAC? Are the windows, or are they still saving energy? Are they kind of dated? Are they metal? Are they, you know, where are we at with big ticket items? And then you can start to critique your cosmetics, you know, which I'm never a fan of anything decor wise or cosmetic wise. Right. I'm like, guys, you got to look past that. You know, I never get there, and I try my best not to let my clients get there. Like, that doesn't matter.
The only thing I would really make an exception on that is if it was carpet or hardwood and it was exceptionally bad.
Yeah. So that's quickly falling into the big ticket item. Yeah. You're looking on a floor, it's like, man, it's $10,000 worth of floors on this main level.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when I go in and trying to explain to a buyer and or seller, not just during a showing time or, you know, a visit, but teaching them kind of what to expect during an inspection, right?
Right.
And I tell them kind of the same thing. Like, we're not looking for cosmetic stuff. We're not looking to ask them to take the garage from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, right? It's more so, I tell them, I said, look, you're looking for big ticket items that are going to cost you a lot of money in the near future. House is going to be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, home ownership is expensive.
Yeah.
If you're buying a house, you can expect to replace something at some point in time. So you're looking for those big ticket items in the short term that's going to cost you a lot of money. You're looking for things that are going to, that could potentially cause damage to the house, your family, your possessions, you know, safety type concerns, and then also maintenance types items. I hope that when inspectors go through, they kind of, you know, when you buy a new car and you're kind of learning some of the features,
yeah,
that they kind of teach you a little bit about how to use your house. Right, changing furnace filters. Like, you know, if you go into a house and, like, it's dusty all over the place and you look at the furnace filter and it's either non-existent or really bad, it kind of tells a story about the seller and how well-maintained this house was, as opposed to just, hey, we've got showings, let's do a quick cleanup or put some lipstick on it.
Yeah, I think that's great, man. I like that. I'm sure you remember the process because you guys had this house built. You mm-hmm. had your final walkthrough, and they walk through, and they do some of those things, the threshold in the door, how it works, crank these down, tighten these up, windows, dishwasher. And when you walk through some of those things, it's like, huh, I just learned something new.
Yeah, I just thought we lived here.
Yeah. So, that's a great point as well.
For the record, I have made caramel apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
So that was a sour apple. And at least in my mind, right, and the butter popcorn tasted like it. You know what it reminded me of? Do you remember the popcorn stand at Northgate Mall or the popcorn place? Caramel corn? Yeah.
Yep.
And it had like the kangaroo or whatever on there.
Yep. Yeah.
The taste of that reminded me of the smell
of caramel corn. Yeah. That was right behind us at Champs and
that world. I just did bubblegum and grape. It tasted, as you would imagine, like grape.
Bubblegum.
So anyway, yeah.
Went out on a limb there.
Going back to real estate, you know, if in your mind you feel like you're getting a good house.
Yeah.
More than likely, you probably are.
And then the classic adage is location, location, location. Like, is this where you want to be? Yeah. Okay. Is the house in you know, that location, 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 it is kind of three different things, you know. Is it located in where you want to be geographically? Is it, you know, in the neighborhood where you want to be? Is it right as soon as you turn into a neighborhood? Is it a corner lot? Is it, you know, all of those things? Is it a cul-de-sac? So you go through all of those things and, you know, is it facing the sun, right? Some people like their backyard.
What time of the day?
Certain directions. Yeah. And just
we
because
learned
they
that
want
here.
To use their their yard at certain times, and it's like, man, I'll never my the window of opportunity to hang out in my backyard is very limited. I don't think I like this house, and we do have those conversations. So it's location, location, location. Is it where you want to be in proximity to life? Is it where you want to be in the neighborhood? And then is it set up in a way that you get the most use out of it?
So it's funny that you brought up the sun. I'm trying to figure out what this flavor is.
I was showing a house once, man, and we were in the kitchen in the afternoon, and it was a bad time showing it. And we walked out on the deck because the kitchen was on the back side of the house. And the whole time we were there, the sun was just dominating us. And the wife was like, man, like if I had to deal with this, because this is like dinner time. Mm-hmm. If I had to deal with this every day at dinner time, like that would drive me nuts. I'm like, well, you could plant trees and in 20 years they'd be tall enough to
get right. The shade.
And it's like, so we actually, you know, that was kind of some of the weirdest feedback I've ever given to an agent is, you know, the sun was in our eyes the whole time. It's like, are you serious? I'm like, you had to be there because it was obnoxious. Like we were talking, it's like, oh, let's go in the front of the house. It's like, so at dinner time, I can't. I mean, yes, you can put up blinds. Yes, you can put up curtains. But if you have people over and you want to hang out on your deck, it's just like, it's just where the sun set. It was obnoxious. And I was like, yeah.
So to me, that's important. And I try to point that out when I go to show a place, only because, and a lot of stuff we do is based upon our own experiences, right?
Yeah.
So we built the house and it was like the front porch, the elevation, whatever, the front porch was really important.
Yep.
Okay. So we get here, we move in. Like I was going to cut the grass or do something. I remember I'm putting my boots on the front porch. It's July. And the sun, and it's like 100 degrees and the sun is just beating down our front porch. And it's like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night. Just literally beating us down. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're never, ever, ever going to, as important as this porch was when we built the house, we're never going out there.
Right.
Until dark.
Correct.
On the flip side, in the back, we had a patio that it's only sunny in the morning.
Yeah.
So nobody was going out back in the morning. So it turned out to be like, oh, you can go in the back. There was plenty of shade. Back there, you never needed an umbrella because the sun was on the front of the house.
So yeah,
that was an important factor that we missed that I try to point out kind of as we go.
Yes. My house, we're fortunate that it faces directly south, so the front of our house is under sun constantly.
Yeah,
and it's seasonal. It's, you know, and this is a whole other thing that you learn through the experience and talking to an HVAC guy. So you know, in the summertime, we close our back fence because we're on a wooded lot, so the back out of the house is shaded. Front house is like a greenhouse in the summertime. So you know, we turn the air on in the front, so we open the vents and lock the ones in the back. Said you can't do that because your HVAC system designed to have a certain level of suction and a certain level of exhale, if you will. I don't mm-hmm. know, exhaust that would go out. And if it's sucking in and you've got vents closed, it's sucking in too hard and it'll burn your engine out. So when they design an HVAC system, it's designed to where the pressure is just, it's the perfect balance of intake and
yeah.
outtake. And I was like, I mean, I guess that makes sense. But he said, yeah, so don't do that.
Don't mess with it.
Because it's going to wear your motor of your HVAC system out a little bit sooner. It's like, all right, fair enough. So
change your furnace filters.
Keep them all. Because in the wintertime, we do the exact opposite, you know, because we took advantage of the heat in the front of the house. And then we just cooled the back of the house. So it was just... I was like, well, now we know.
Now you know.
So thanks for that nugget of information.
So you got a song. What do we got?
2001, top 40, number 16. I was getting ready to look it up.
I'm on it.
On it.
What was the number?
Number 16.
This website today. Find it. Searching. Buffering. That was the wrong website. But we're going to use, my birthday's April 11th. We're going to use the number 14 song.
There we go.
On April. Number 14. Alexa, play Hanging by a Moment by Lifehouse.
There we go.
Interesting. I know. I remember Lifehouse. I remember a few of their songs. Oh, yeah, another song.
So, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, we both kind of have had stuff that we were doing.
Tell us.
How are your last 2 weeks?
So we had our big annual golf trip down to Perry Park. That went exceptionally well. We played night golf. Solomon Wilburn brought some glow balls.
Okay.
You just crack them. They light up really, really, really well. And so the houses we stay in, there's a par five that's directly off the back porches of the three houses that we all rent out. So there's 24 of us that go. Some of them stay in the house. Some stay in the hotel at Perry Park right up by the clubhouse. But everybody hangs out at the houses at night and just kind of has our night caps and hangs out. And there's a par five, so we'll get out. We'll putt on that, and we'll drive in, chip in, and have competitions. And you got a few guys out there throwing $100 in the hole. Like, anybody makes a putt from here, it's your $100, and anybody chips in. So, you know, we have a lot of fun events. But glow golf, which was it's so neat to watch a ball fly that light, that bright in the darkness like that. So that was a lot of fun. Then we played another game, worst ball. So it's the exact opposite of a scramble where you choose the best ball.
Which is the worst ball.
Yeah. So you have a few guys tee up, and, I mean, they just drop bombs, you know, out 280, 300. And then the third or fourth guy in your group flubs one. They got to go get their balls, come all the way back. And then when you got, like, you know, guys that are 6 foot out on putting, you know, somebody drains a 6 foot putt, so the next guy drains a 6 foot putt, then you miss. Well, the two that made it come out now because the worst ball was not made. So that was an event. So some of the strategies is, you know, if somebody hits a not a great ball off the tee, you're looking to drop a bomb, you hit a ball about 100 yards, it's like, oh, dang it. And the next guy's like, well, I don't want to crush a ball because then I got to go get it, so I want to hit it somewhat in the vicinity. So they kind of change their approach because they just want to keep everything together. And then they might just change it up, and then they're going to hit a ball about 80 yards. So it's now that worst ball just got a little worse.
And so that has to be a slower paced game.
Very.
How do you rule on a ball that's hit far, but say not on the fairway?
So the other teams, so there's three teams going, the other teams pick your team's worst ball.
So you have three teams on a tee box.
Yep.
Okay.
So some are blatantly obvious, which is the worst shot.
Yeah.
Some of it's like, you know, you walk over and it's like, man, these are both decent balls, but this is more behind a tree.
Yeah.
Or this is not in the fairway. So, yeah, the other teams pick.
That's interesting.
And it's definitely not a game that you could play scheduled tee time.
No.
It can only be played, you know, once everybody's gone, it's 8 o'clock, there's nobody left coming through those holes, and, you know, you kind of have that hole to yourself.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun, man. It was fun. We had a guy that... And any other rule that they added, and I don't know why, but it just to make it fun because it's that time of day, no shoes, right? So everybody's playing barefoot.
Ooh.
And I don't know. There's a certain guy that swung away, and I don't know if it was because it was how many wobbly pops he chose to drink or if he was an inch and a half shorter. Loaded team. Like, man, those guys are good. They got four good golfers. Bomb, bomb, bomb. And his didn't even leave the tee box. He walked up with shoes on it, like, you got to take your shoes off.
Worst ball.
So he takes it off, and it goes like 10 feet. Everybody's like, that's the ball.
That's
it. So the other guys get in their cart, they go get their balls, they all come back. It was just,
so
it was a lot of fun, man.
I'm not a fan of bare feet in general.
Yeah?
Like, I like to wear shoes, sandals, whatever. Bare feet, unless you're on sand, bare feet on grass. It always baffled me when, like, when you were growing up and kids and you'd race.
I love it.
And somebody would say they're faster with bare feet. No, you're not.
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Toes gripping
there's
in,
a,
man.
There's a reason they made shoes.
It's that primal instinct that we had.
So the fastest guys in the world that run in the Olympics, they wear shoes.
Yeah, throw them on grass, man. See if it speeds them up.
No way.
1996, Rock. Ooh, look at that.
Number one song in 96 for Rock.
Top Rock songs. 19. So what else did you do? It's been 2 weeks.
Oh, man. Got I looked over the family, if you will.
Yeah.
So it was a unique time for the Toby Suggs group. Great guys, by the way. You know, great contributors to the show. Love those guys. Number one. Yep.
Alexa, play One Headlight by the Wallflowers.
Love it. So we have Mark Graber,
yeah,
who was in Alaska for 2 weeks, enjoying that time. We had you, who was on your the final ball tournament of the year down in, what, Panama, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to stay back and kind of look over the family, look over the business, and got to go sit in on a couple closings.
Yep.
Go see Nick Kostoff, which was great. Yep. Great friend, great guy from childhood. Sat in on one from Mark Graber. Which was fun. So business was able to keep going, and that's shameless plug, but that's why we merged our groups together, is so we could still focus on our family time and keep business running back home. So planning on softball, open fields, got Paige out, you know, just staying busy, and a few new listings hitting the market. I had a few closings myself. It's just business as usual, and we're all headed to Boone, North Carolina tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow evening we're going to head out, and it's kind of the last weekend away before you got a flavor deep in thought.
It was birthday cake.
Okay. So yeah, we're going to enjoy a few days there before Paige leaves for school, before Audrey and Grace start school on the 19th, and it's just that one
last... When does Paige leave?
So we're driving out on August 31st. Her and I will drive. Haven't worked out the details yet because she's getting an apartment this year. So this is like her first year of big girl life. Own apartment, all that stuff.
No roommates?
Yep. Two other roommates.
It's already been chosen?
Already been chosen. So one of the roommates is a girl that she's been roommates with for 2 years.
Okay.
Her dorm mate, their shortstop, Bella. So they came in together, got a great relationship. And then another girl is in. So Paige and Bella are both in kinesiology because they're both in a path. Paige wants to be a physician assistant, and Bella wants to be a physical therapist. A PA and a PT. And then
so kinesiology. That is the study of, like, movements?
Yes.
Pretty good.
So it's like KT tape, kinesiology. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So... that's their path to their futures. And then their other roommate is not a ball player. Her name's Maya. She is also in kinesiology. So those all three together, they just met through classes, and they all get along well. They're like-minded. And
yeah.
So it should be a pleasurable experience, but you know how things go.
And there will be days.
Yeah. She leaves this out. She doesn't close this. So it's, you know, growing pains, you know, but it's all part of conditioning of life, because eventually they're going to move in with their to-be spouses or whatever, and they're just, hey, I went through this with a roommate. I know how to make an adjustment of living in someone else's space, right? Yeah. So the reason I say all that is because we've got to take different stuff up this year, and I don't know if we're just going to take her car up and I'm going to fly back like normal, and I'll stay with her for a couple days, and then we'll just get up there and go shop and buy the mattress or just Amazon things, have it to live. We don't know. We might get some stuff here, and if we do that, then she'll take her car, and then I'll follow behind in the minivan, and we'll just load it up, which I don't know. I saw gas in Northern Kentucky is like $3.94, so that's like 40 cents cheaper than anywhere.
That's
a bargain. Yeah. It's like giving it away down there.
Yeah.
But I dread getting up into, you know, upstate New York, where it's more expensive there than it is here.
Oh, yeah.
And we're more expensive, so I can't keep coming back to Kentucky to get gas to get to Massachusetts, right? So, be nice, but yeah, so that's that. And Grace wraps up band camp this week. Tomorrow's her last day, so that's again just a decompress and get ready for school, get your minds right, and yeah.
So Boone, North Carolina, what's in Boone?
So it is northwest corner location of North Carolina, and it's Appalachian State University is the campus down at the bottom of the hill.
Okay.
Jessica's family, aunt and uncle, they have a house there, which is absolutely breathtaking.
Is it just a house? Is it on a beach? Is it in a mountain? House.
It's in a mountain.
Like a chalet type almost?
It's nicer than that. It's beautiful. It's up on the mountain. So they bought it in the 80s, so they got the land locked up then, and then they built on it, and they retired there. So they lived in Wilmington, North Carolina, and then they retired in the mountain. Okay. Because that was always her dream, and it's, you know, from the back. I'll send pictures, man. It's absolutely breathtaking because they're one of the higher points in Boone, and you just look out over the mountains and over the valleys, and it's scenic, man. It's breathtaking. So and relaxing. And when you walk through the neighborhood, so like once you're at that point of the mountain, it's just gravel drive all the way back through, and it's a nice trail. And then there's a few other mountains, and I don't know the name of Grandma Mountain or Grandpa Mountain. I don't know what it is, but Jessica's got us set up on some hikes so our relaxing weekend.
That sounds terrible.
We'll be walking up and down hills and up and down mountains and seeing just absolutely, because I'm a big mountain guy. I love the landscape of mountain. I'm not a big prairie guy. Flat. The beach is cool, but and that's cool that, you know, Jessica and I, we both kind of favor that. You know, I'd rather sit in a mountain and look over, you know, snow-capped mountain and just the beautiful. That's just my thing, and Jessica's as well. So yeah, that's therapeutic for us to just. And even walking, it's so funny because she hates to, like, walk. Like, I've walked the neighborhood often, and it's like, Jess, let's go walk. She's like, I hate it. But if you get her in the woods, dude, she's just like, let's walk here, let's walk here, let's go down that trail. So I don't know the difference. You know, there's obviously something. You can probably dive into it, like, neurology, science.
Brains.
Brains. So there's something to it. There has been studies to where, you know, you just have a different connection with nature. And I think that's. Because she's in a hospital all day, so to walk to a subdivision, I think her body just rejects it.
People.
To be around a concrete jungle versus trees and animals and noises. But again, if we're sitting on the back deck, she's like, I hate bugs. Like, none of this adds up. But so we're going to walk. Let's walk in the woods.
Let's walk in the woods.
Yeah, and she loves it. That's her little taste of heaven on earth. So, and who am I to deny her that?
I wasn't good mix either.
So, you got my brain.
I was like, beer and lime.
Beer and lime.
I thought it would be good, like maybe like a shandy. Those.
Yeah, a little seltzer. Is it lacking the seltzer?
It's too much lime.
Okay.
Too much lime. Strong lime flavor, not enough beer flavor. So it's not like, yeah.
So I did go 3-1 on my golf trip.
Nice. So did you get money?
Yeah, not a lot. I wasn't one of the big winners, but, you know, $65. Which is good. I mean, it's more than I went down there with. I got money back for what I paid into the kitty, and so yeah, head to head against Doug Retsch.
Took him down.
Yep, took him down. So that was exciting for how little I got out. I was really pleased with my irons. You know, we did our par three, and neither one of our minds were there. I don't think I'd like to go play again.
Yeah.
Just to be like, Tom, I'm not really good, but I'm not that bad either. Right. Somewhere in the middle. I had a good weekend, man. Off the tee, I was horrendous. But, you know, when you're consistently bad off the tee, you kind of develop a skill of recovery.
Yeah.
And I'm getting there, right?
Yep.
So I put myself in a lot of awkward spots, but I recover out of them. And there was one club that I was hitting well all week, and I was like, dude, it's the only club I'm swinging for the rest of the day.
That's it.
I'm putting. It was like 10 cup, the 7-iron. It wasn't a 7-iron. It was just a hybrid, like a 5-wood hybrid or whatever. I don't even know the lingo of golf. But, I hit it well all weekend. I'm like, this is it, dude. Off the tee. I'm chipping with it. I'm putting with
it. Get down on the putter with two hands and
go on, ball.
And let it go.
So, yeah, it was awesome. You know, the only loss was to the best guy on the trip. He's scratch golfer. He's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it was a two-man scramble against him and someone else. So it was basically me and my partner versus him.
Yeah, it's not good.
And he was better.
That makes for a long day.
We added an element to it this year, though, where we factored in our handicaps.
Okay.
And that really balanced the playing field. That helps tremendously. Yep. When you get a hole per every hole or a stroke for every hole, it's like, this helps, man. This really helps.
Yep.
And it balances out the competition. So it helped.
I agree. I've subbed in leagues before where they use the handicap. And if your handicap was high, like mine was higher, you want that guy on your team. And you just hope he plays better than what his handicap shows. So note to self, if you're ever going to a league, really suck the first night or two before you turn it on. Get your handy, sandbag the heck out of that handicap, and then come back, make things better as the rest of the league goes on.
So it came down. So it's normally Team USA versus Team Europe. So 12 and 12 on each team. And it came down to the 18th hole. The two teams came up, and you know, we're sitting there looking at it, and it's if I'm trying to think who the guys were. Adam, if Adam makes a putt, then he wins that head-to-head.
Okay.
And then the other one, you know, I think we pretty much had it as a tie. That was just going to be a wash. So it's like, we need Adam to win this hole. If he wins, then we win, which they changed the names to Tropic Movie Theme, so Tropic Thunder and Bad Boys was the two team names. But it's like, if Adam makes this, wins this hole, we win. Guy gets in the sand trap. Adam gets on the very edge of the green. So we're cheering for Adam to just two-putt it in.
Yeah.
And he's in the sand. We're in a good spot here. Dude chips it from the sand, and it goes 2 feet. Still in the sand. And we're like, yes. Like, this is perfect. His next chip, Tom, it hit the freaking flag about 6 inches from the bottom of the flag, and it didn't go in the hole.
Yeah.
But it rolled about, I don't know, 4 inches away from the hole.
Okay.
And it was like, oh. Now he absolutely has to two-putt. It's not an option anymore. Yep. Putt.
Left it short.
Yeah, putt.
Short again.
We tied.
Yeah.
So all that whole weekend full of a tie.
A tie. All that the for two a tie. No tie. Playoff hole?
Yeah, and it was the last. I mean, we were talking about a playoff hole. It's like, how do you want to do it? It's like, all right, the two best from each team chip in from there, or we replay this hole. But at that time, there were people behind us. So yeah. It's just like, we don't want to jump back into a hole. And it's, how about we do the best two from each team and the worst two from each team? And I was like, yeah, I'm down, dude. I got the 37 handicap. Let's do it.
No, we don't want that.
Beat my guy. Yeah. I'll beat him again. So it was, it started getting confusing. It's like, why don't we go to this hole and see if we can play this hole out as a tiebreaker? And then we drove over there. That hole was being occupied. It's like, guys, let's call it a day. It's a tie.
Yep, tie.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I guess you didn't.
But it was exciting that it came down to the last group to come through and literally the last stroke. If he'd have made it, we'd have won. If he'd have made a second putt, we'd have won.
That's awesome, though, because so, I can only see everybody standing around.
Yeah, everybody was around the hole. Like,
oh!
When Joe, the other guy there, Joe chipped it out of the sand and hit the flag, it was just like... The first one, when he flobbed it, it was like, yeah! Oh, no.
Oh, oh no!
Yes.
So that's awesome. Sounds like busy, productive, but fun 2 weeks.
Yeah.
For you. Now on to me.
The craziness.
Oh, man, I tell you what. What we've said it before, a good story is better than a good time any day, right? So we were, every year, or the last 2 years anyway, we booked Carson's team in this tournament in Panama City. And typically you book it, you know, late fall so people can get their accommodations and everything ready, save up money, whatever it is people need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nicole's a really good trip planner. And so, you know, following the news this time, because of the spring training getting canceled, we were going to be able to fly. We had to use them. So since we had to fly, we were flying into Destin, Fort Walton Airport.
Yeah.
And so the idea was, you know, fly. The original idea was fly Friday, get there Friday, you know, walk around, see a little bit of Destin, get some dinner someplace, Saturday morning, kind of get up, kind of do the same thing, and then afternoon check into our condo in Panama City. Well, if you follow the news or anything in regards to travel, Allegiant and other airplanes are having a really, really hard time. Like, they're, a lot of flights are getting canceled, delayed for multiple reasons. So it kind of freaked her out a little bit. So she decided, you know, instead of if we flew Friday and something happened to our flight, we'd have to turn around and leave and start driving down there because we had to be at our place Saturday, right? So you kind of panic mode. You don't really have any other options at that point. She said, what do you think about booking Thursday, let's go Thursday, gives us an extra day of leeway to get there. I mean, that's fine. So we book Thursday, and we're flying out at 6 o'clock, and we leave here at 3, get to the airport, get through security. Everybody's excited. It's like, all right, go find your gate. We find the gate. Let's go get something to eat. I love hanging out in airports. I just, people watching airports,
yeah,
is amazing.
Yeah.
And so we go get something to eat, have a couple beers. You're watching planes come in. You're watching people leave. People, you know, just awesome. So we go to the gate, and I got another beer to sit there at the gate. I'm like, I'm on vacation. Like, we're going to be up in the air. Like, we'll be there in 2 hours, yada, yada, yada. But the flight's delayed a little bit because the incoming flight that we would be taking back to Destin was now late. So it's not here yet. So they show up finally. It's probably about 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock. People start getting off. Great. Okay. They're going to clean the plane up, let us on. 7:30 rolls around. No dice. And then you see the pilot and the stewardess, they're coming off the plane now. Like, that ain't a good sign.
Right.
So they're looking for a stewardess. Not looking for. One got sick and couldn't go on the return flight. So they were looking for, trying to get somebody on call, a stewardess on call to come, because I guess FAA regulations, they have to have so many stewardess per flight, right, is what they were told. So the pilot leaves. They say, oh, your flight's canceled. What?
I'm going to interrupt you here. I'm going to go with Alexa, play You're Beautiful by James Blunt.
You're beautiful.
I was supposed to play the number 6 song. This was the number 1 song, but as soon as I saw it, I'm like, yeah. It's our show. Do whatever we want, right?
So they cancel the flight. I'm like, at this point, adrenaline's a little bit high. 7:30. I'm like, all right, let's go. Everybody get your stuff. Let's go to the luggage place. We're driving. I'm just like that. I'm like, now it is what it is. Can't change it. It's time to make lemonade.
Yes.
Right? So we go down to
play the license plate game. Just play.
No. So we go down and we wait for our luggage for close to 2 hours.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, because when your flight
it's loaded. Yeah.
Well, when your flight gets canceled, you become low priority. So I had enough time basically to go across the highway, take the tram across the highway, get my truck. Fortunately, I had cleaned it out like a few days earlier.
Nice.
Get my truck, drive it back, and I'm still waiting.
So you guys drove the truck all the way down?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, because it's the only thing we could fit in the back.
Yeah.
Right? And knowing that we were going to games and everything.
All right. Yeah, and the stuff that makes sense.
The stuff you have to take to the ballpark.
I'm just thinking of comfort, you know, taking Nicole's
car. It was going to be a lose-lose.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Because she only has 2 bucket seats, and I don't know how much would have been able to fit in the back.
All right.
Because we had carry-ons, we had luggage, we had everything. And so we finally get our luggage, and we get on the road. It's probably roughly 10 o'clock at night. It's a 12-hour drive to Destin.
Yep.
So I'm like, all right, let's go. Get on the road. Keep going. We get on the road probably 2 hours. Stopped at Elizabethtown, Kentucky, so people could pee, got gas, we're revved up. We're still ready to go. Nicole's like, do you want me to drive? I'm like, hey, did you sleep yet? No. Well, I'm fine right now. Until you've gotten a little bit, like, I'm good, mm-hmm. right? So in my head, I'm thinking 10 o'clock, 12-hour drive, 2:30. It's kind of like, okay, 2:30, we kind of switch. I'll get a couple hours after she gets a couple hours, and then maybe we'll switch again. And so we get about 20 minutes past Elizabethtown. At this point, it's 12:30. Dead stop traffic. My GPS is showing for an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh.
Just sitting there. Fortunately, because we were leaving at night, the kids were, for the most part, in and out, sleeping, not getting too antsy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still boring as heck, you know, we're sitting there. Finally get out of that. 30 minutes later, 30 minutes standstill. I'm like, And the only reason, back it up a little bit, the only reason that, you know, we kind of panicked or kind of panic drove or whatever you want to call it, was we were going to spend the day in Destin. Plus, we had a deep sea fishing trip that we were taking at noon on Friday.
Right.
So we're doing everything we can to get down there. And since the flight was canceled, we couldn't cancel the hotel room. So fortunately, you know, we plowed through. We get into Destin, 8:30, whatever. We still had the hotel room from the night before. So we were able to check in, get continental breakfast, kind of clean up a little bit.
Wait, so what time did you leave Cincy Airport?
10 o'clock.
And you got there at 8:30?
About.
So 10 and a half hours?
So maybe a little bit later than that, because I was doing the math. So 10 o'clock, that's probably 9:30,
Okay, that's still.
We were moving pretty good. Yeah. And it was enough time to kind of, like I said, wasn't a lot of time, but it was enough time to kind of get cleaned up. Nobody took a nap or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was like, eat breakfast, kind of pack coolers.
So you guys were like zombie mode, dude. You were just like mentally.
So I was plowing through and I was like 2:30, 2:30, 2:30. She still hadn't slept yet. And then 2:30 comes around, and I look back, and everybody's asleep. I'm like, well, I'm not gonna wake her up now. I was like, I'm gonna plow through it now till 4:30, or at least until we get into Alabama. So we get to Alabama, we make the switch, we get into Destin, have the breakfast, we go to this place in this, I guess it's a boat dock, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a little bar kind of there, so while people are waiting, you know, you can get a drink or something to eat, like a snack. And then they have, like, public restrooms right there. And it's raining, too, by the way, at this point.
Yeah.
So she's texting back and forth with the captain. He's like, I'm right behind you guys. I'm just standing out here waiting for it to stop. When it does, I'll let you know. We'll go. And I look back, and there's this guy. He's riding a bicycle, right? And he's got some stuff with him. He's riding a bicycle. And I see him. He kind of parks up, and he goes into this restroom. Didn't pay much attention. We finally get out and meet the captain. Austin's got to pee, knocks on the door of this restroom. This dude comes out, cussing up a storm. Can't you see I'm in here? Can't you hear my music? What are you doing? And it just starts cussing at Austin, who's 12. Austin's like, our captain, he's probably our age, right? But he's a bigger dude than me. And he steps up and he's threatening to kick, like he's all over this guy.
Really?
Threatens to kick the guy's ass, get him out of there. Like, it was, I'm just sitting back like, all right, what's going to happen? And this guy's, turned out it was a homeless guy that was using the bathroom as basically a shower type.
Okay.
And so.
Alexa, play Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson.
So, we go on the boat. Everybody's, you know, we'll get into too much detail of the thing, but we. It was a 4-hour trip. It's rocky as heck. I'm holding on to Blake on the front, like boom, boom, boom. And we finally get accustomed to where we're in a spot, and Carson's on the front of the boat, and he's catching fish nonstop.
All right.
I was helping Blake earlier. I look over, Blake's catching fish nonstop. Austin had caught a few. Nicole had caught a few. Me? The experienced fisherman, I'm in the back. I have not caught squat. And this guy's like, you know, he was awesome. So he's running around in a circle, basically baiting hooks, taking fish off, baiting hooks, taking fish off. And like.
Not for you, though.
No, he was baiting my hook because we're like in 75 feet of water. And he's like, just drop it. And literally, he's on the front of the boat helping Austin. He goes, hey, Tom. Probably want to reel that. It was like 5 seconds. You probably want to reel that in. I think your bait's gone. I'm like, that fast? I was like, I didn't even feel anything. I reel it up. Sure enough, it's gone. And that's how it was for most of the day.
Hmm.
And then we finally get to a spot. Carson continued to catch fish. Blake's over there now by himself just catching fish, right?
Yeah.
So finally, I hook into one. Now I'm pulling up, and I'm like, and he had told me because I bass fish, and so I'm like, my hands are kind of close, you know, kind of close together.
Yep.
He's like, on these big sea rods, he's like, you got to have your hand here and hand here because you might have to pull. So I've got this thing posted like into my groin, and it's just kind of sitting here like this. And I pull up on one, this thing, boom. I'm like, man, that's heavy. And it's kind of back, pulling, reeling. And I get in probably a 20-pound red snapper, right? Biggest red snapper. It's the only fish I've caught so far.
Yep.
But it's the biggest that we have. So, all right, that made sense. I got it now. So, baits the hook, drop it again, and all of a sudden I feel it. My hand's not as far as on this one, right? And I just gently pull up, and this thing goes boom and jerks me down, goes under the thing. And I'm trying to slide my hand up. So, it was so heavy, I couldn't pull the rod tip.
Right.
And I couldn't reel. Everything in my being had locked up, and I couldn't move. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't move it. He comes over to try to help. He grabs it and starts to pull it up, and I get two reels in. Boom. Snap the line. And I'm like, oh.
That was a shark, dude. That was a great white.
Oh, like, what was that? I'm like, I was so beat up. Like, just, I can't believe I missed that. Like, I can't believe that just happened. Like, I felt like such a failure, so defeated. I'm like, that was the one. That was the one story fish.
Yeah.
That I could, like, I wasn't ready for. And it still eats me up. So, I throw another one back out there. Like, I'm ready. If this thing comes back, I'm ready. Drop it. Pull up. Sure enough, here comes another big one. Boom. Not as big as that one, because I was still kind of, I was at this point, I'm able to keep a little bit of control.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm kind of rocking. I'm kind of pulling and reeling. Pulling around. I pull once. This thing goes down again, snaps the line. I'm like, oh, it wasn't as big as the last one.
Yeah.
But still, it was like two in a row, and I hadn't had anything all day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and those two I lost. I'm like, I looked at the guys like, is it something that I'm doing?
What happens if Blake would have snagged one of those?
Oh, and pulled him right into the water. Like, then after that, we kind of caught some more fish, whatever. We ended up probably bringing home, I'd say, probably 8 pounds of red snapper.
All right.
Which wasn't bad.
Yeah.
We haven't cooked it yet. But that was the other part of the trip. It's like, so we were going from Destin to Panama City. But first, on that Saturday, so we got up Saturday morning. On that Saturday, we were going from Destin to a place close to Panama City to do, like, an airboat tour where you could, like, go in kind of, like, the back country, brackish water. Cool.
Yeah.
Take an airboat, and they can, you know, you can get to see different types of stuff, animals, whatever that's there.
Right.
So I had to get all of this fish on ice. So we buy two big bags of ice, bought a cooler, putting it on ice. So now, and then it's sitting in the back of my truck while we're at this airboat.
Right.
Right. So we go to the airboat.
Keep it all on ice.
Backcountry. Hoping to see some big gators. Didn't really see big gators. Saw a couple little ones. The cool thing about this airboat thing, like, so the water was like two to three feet deep the entire time, and it was like a rusty color. He's like, look, be on the lookout here. He said it's brackish, but we do have some salt water. We do have some fresh water that meet. He's like, we could see manatees, alligators, sharks, dolphins, all kinds of stuff. So, like, we're coming along, and all of a sudden you see his dolphin fin pop up. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So he goes, takes the airboat to it. Well, you can see the full body. And that was the other thing. We were fishing. Like, usually you like to see dolphins. He's like, no, you hate seeing dolphins because they can take your bait. Two, they can take your fish. Three, it scares all the fish that are around.
Ah.
So everywhere we went, these two dolphins were following us. So it was cool as heck to see the dolphins, but it's like, if it's scaring
for
the
fishing, yeah,
it's not the best. So, like, but he would, if you couldn't keep the fish if it was too small, he would throw it over the side, and, like, these dolphins would just come up and get, I mean, they grabbed one red snapper that was a good 12 inches and just took it and were gone. And, like, you just kept seeing them. So we're in this airboat tour.
So why do fish not like dolphins? I thought dolphins were, like, everybody's buddy.
Not fish. No.
I thought dolphins were, like.
Well, dolphins eat fish.
Yeah.
Dolphins just aren't sharks.
Right.
Right.
But sharks don't like dolphins, right?
But sharks like fish. Sharks, yeah, like anything.
Yeah.
Right? So sharks would eat the dolphin.
All right. Freaking dolphins.
Yeah. So, like, and the one video she got, like, Carson, I think, is reeling in a fish, and, like, literally 10 feet off the boat, there's a dolphin just coming up, and you could, like, with the blowhole, you hear it, like, and then splash. Splash. Like, it was cool. I'm like, I'll never pay for another dolphin tour again, ever.
No?
No.
Just because they ruin your fishing?
No. I'll go deep sea fishing so I can see the dolphins and catch fish at the same time. Either way is going to be expensive.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'd rather go that way, right? So we go and we're on this airboat tour. and sees a dolphin. So he rushes up to see it. And it was cool. Like, I've seen this on TV, and you're watching this dolphin because the water, you could, it's so shallow, you can see the full dolphin. This dolphin's chasing this little fish, and he catches the fish, hits the bottom of the fish with its snout, flips it up in the air to stun it, and then goes and gets it. And it was like, all that was like right in front of me. Like, I'd seen it like on those TV shows.
See it in real life.
But see it in real life. That's like, so whoa, cool. Like, you really do that. I was like, that was awesome.
No orcas, though. No killer whales.
No killer whales. those freak me out. But
I posted a video, and I've seen it like three times. Like, not the same one, but different ones, where these killer whales are like killing sharks.
Oh, yeah.
Just eating sharks. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that now because I'm in the process of catching up on Shark Week. But so, yeah, so we get done with that, and then it's time to go to... time to go to our condo, Panama City. So we go there, whatever. Meet some folks, Pompano Joe's, get some oysters, nice. A little hot sauce, a little horseradish on them. Ate seafood the entire time that we were down there. That and pizza. I had enough pizza down there too that we tried all kinds of stuff. It was great.
Pizza,
like, because you get home from games or whatever, and it's just like, it's a tourist attraction to go to the restaurant. So it's like, do we go to the restaurant and wait an hour and a half, 2 hours, or let's just get pizza?
So we had the conversation of music in different time of years when you have different, you know, listening kind of cravings, I guess, right? So with you mentioning pizza in a hot sun, like, what do you... I like to go without cheese on a hot day, because cheese is just, like, weigh you down.
That's not pizza, though.
Well, sure it is. It's pizza sauce and...
that's like, cheesy what, bread.
Well, no cheese, right? So, do you do anything? Do you just get a normal cheese? You get, like, thin crust? Like, well, what is it like for...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if meat. It's 110 just or just...
Give me all the meats, the cheese, the sauce.
Load crust. It up.
Yeah, load it up. I'm good. You know, so we, you know, we did that. Had a lot of pizza, hung by the pool, hung by the beach. It was windy. And when we flew, like, we didn't bring anything. So we thought we'd go to, like, whatever, a Dick's or a sporting goods store and buy one of those Easy Up tents.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm driving home, driving back to the condo from the coaches meeting. Nicole texts me, hey, can you get an Easy Up tent? Well, they had just told me at the meeting that, hey, you get 20% off your order the entire, whatever you buy from Dick's, if you show them this coupon the entire week. So I'm like, oh, cool, I'll go to Dick's. Step outside, they've got all these Easy Up tents. I buy one. It was orange. I'm like, great, we can use that for tailgate parties too. I mean, we're driving now, we can bring it home. Put it up on the beach. Lasted 2 days. Sucker blew over. Bent the thing. It's gone. So we had to buy another. We ended up buying two Easy Up tents down there.
Right.
But the beach was cool. Did see, according to our kids, there was a boy who they kind of described as with autism, is what they said. We weren't too far from the pier that at night took off running out into the water. Like the pier is, what, 200, 300 yards long?
Yeah.
Like, and he was way out there. So, like, you can look from our balcony and you see, like, the ambulance and you're just thinking for the worst. Like, there's a little kid out there in the water. Apparently, he was just swimming, floating along. Loved swimming. They ended up, an hour later, they ended up finding him down towards the end of the pier.
Whoa.
And brought him back in. He was fine.
Just swimming.
But, like, the kids were all, like, the team, they were all down there kind of just watching everything.
Yeah.
Kind of unfold. So, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's funny, like, listening to all the craziness. And then when we just went down to Gainesville to watch Audrey to do that stuff, the hitting the deer, the things. And it's just like, I don't know. And we live so, just figure it out. Like, we say that, we drive that home, mm-hmm. and we both, you know, we're around each other and we do business together, and we get surprised, we get shocked, we get thrown off centered. And it's such a consistent life of just figure it out. And it's so neat to hear, because every family has these vacation challenges, right? I don't even want to call it horror stories, but you know, some may call them horror stories. Like, oh, it's just like, you know what? I'm at an airport. I'm ready to go. Last minute, I got to drive. You know, I'm leaving for a vacation. I hit a deer. And it's just like, it just comes with life.
Well, I did back my truck into the side of a pillar and scratch the crap of it. That was after the fishing trip.
Like,
it was, you know, that was a frustrating time. But it's like, hey, we're here now. I don't care.
Last year, the wedding, you have a flat tire. You have to change that. Like, it's just like, life is just full of, like, figuring it out moments.
Being problem solvers.
Yeah. Like, yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. And what's the solution? It sucks that that's the solution, but guess what? It's the solution. Go with it.
There's nothing, like, you can do about it right now.
Yeah.
What's done is done.
It's just a moment of reflecting on.
Can't unring that bell that I just rung right there, you know?
It's just funny on and just certain people, and I think we all have them in our life that just suck the life out of people, and they focus on the negatives. They focus on the things, and it's just like, hey, you know, it added to the vacation. Remember that vacation? It sucked, but man, it was fun that we experienced, and we persevered, and we pushed through, and it's a story to tell now, right?
A good story is better than a good time any day, right?
Right.
So we played
kudos games. To the Talby family for...
We toughed it out.
Yeah, because that's a lot of moving parts. That's a lot of, you know, and we've been there before. And, you know, I think most of us have been there to where it's just like you make those sacrifices, right? And you persevere, you push through, and the next day you're just like you're in that zombie mode. I think we all felt it where you're just kind of on cruise control, and it's just like, at this point, dude, I'm just going on straight adrenaline. And even sometimes at the end of those days, man, you get back to like the room or whatever, and you lay down to sleep, and you think you're just going to crash right away, but your body goes into that mode, and it's like, crap, I can't sleep now.
I crashed. I'm not kidding you, because I don't.
And then you got the sump to where it's like you have a second to breathe, and it's like.
I don't sleep well in hotels anyway.
Yeah.
And we got back from dinner after the fishing trip, and I just kind of sat back on the bed, put my head on the pillow. The next thing I remember, it was completely dark in the room, and I'm like, oh man, I fell asleep. What time is it? Like 2 a.m, whatever. I still had like decent clothes on. I don't even, my shoes might have been on. I know my watch was on because I looked over. I was like, 8:30?
Wow.
PM. We got back, pitch black, might have been 9:30.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, I'm like, that can't be right. It's not, look at my room. Completely dark. I wasn't the only one. Everybody else, all five of us, out cold.
Smoked.
Yeah. Woke back up, looked at my watch, like, oh, it's only 1 o'clock. I'm like, jeez. Fell back asleep. Woke back up at like 6:30. I'm like, I never sleep in hotels.
Yeah.
But I think I got like 14 hours.
Your body was like, I don't care where you're at. You're sleeping today.
It literally just shut down is what happened. You know, we get to Panama City. We play the games. We played pretty good baseball, but we played a lot of teams that were similar to us. We just made the one mistake. They didn't make the one mistake. We played four games. We went 0-3-1. Our run differential on the entire weekend or week was 8.
Oh,
so
4 games.
So on average, we lost by 2 runs.
Yeah.
We pitched really well for the most part. Defensively was pretty well for the most part, aside from, like I said, it's always like one error that would give up the one run, or wild pitch that would give up one run, and then we never got the clutch hit.
Just never got like the clutch hit, never got the break.
And it was like every left fielder of every team we played, they had to be like the greatest defensive left fielder of all time. I'm not kidding you. Like, we had guys that crushed the ball, and this guy's on the warning track, sliding onto the warning track, or crashing into the wall, or running down a ball into the gap. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, I mean, these were run scoring. They should have been run scoring doubles. Or that was the other thing.
I drove down here for this.
It was like, the other thing was the fences, you're playing on turf. We had like 3 ground rule doubles that killed us. To where had the ball just hit the fence, we get multiple runs. Instead, we have second and third and 2 outs. We don't get the clutch hit. Blah, 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 blah. Long story short, that was kind of the gist of the actual games. And then, you know, it was tough because a lot of these kids I've had for 2 years, and some of them will go on to play at the next level. And then there's others that, you know, basically that when they got back to Cincinnati, they had to find a job and get to work.
Yeah.
You know. And so, you know, those were some sad times talking through with them. But it was a special team, a special group, and they had a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
And then we left on Saturday. We came up with a plan, like, okay, let's drive to Nashville. Just drive to Nashville. We'll stay in Nashville. We'll get up Sunday morning.
See, that's what I'm talking about, dude. Like, if you fly down, you don't get to do that.
No, you don't.
It's like, you know what? If we're going to make make lemons, right? Mm-hmm. Lemonade, right? It's what we're in. It's like, hey, we're on a ride home. What do you want to do on the way home?
We
can now. And it's just, I don't know. I just love that part of the story, I guess, right? Just
the Tolby family. We stayed at Opryland Hotel in Nashville.
It's neat, isn't it?
That's the first time I'd ever been there.
It's pretty, it's cool.
Yep. It's huge. All kinds of stuff to do. The kids, we hung out at the pool. Kids go to the water park. You're absolutely right. We wouldn't have got to experience that. We wouldn't have got the pictures. We wouldn't have got the stories had we not just taken off and driven.
Yes.
Now, on the flip side of that, we would have been home the day before. You know, because when you get home from vacation, you're beat, man.
Yeah,
doesn't matter how far the drive is.
Yes.
It's like, you're just like, now what?
Yeah.
Like, do we go to bed now? Because then you got to unload everything out of the car, out of the truck. It's like, you're doing laundry. You're trying to put everything away and get your life back the way it was 7 days ago, 8 days ago, 9 days ago.
Right.
It's like, I just want to get back to that.
Yep.
Right? And then the following Monday, it's like, okay, got to work today. And it's like, just don't want to.
Yeah, I remember when we talked at like 9:30 or so, it was just kind of, I can tell you're playing catch up. And
most of it was up here.
Yeah, 100%.
It was 100%. Like, okay, trying to remember back, and it's like, mentally, like, how do I organize what I have to do this week?
Yeah.
You know, to just get everything
going. Your property is freaking getting things signed. Any update on this? Any update on this? And it's just like, yeah. I mean, it just happens, right? It's beyond our control, but you figure it out.
Well, I missed all of Shark Week. So the last few days, I go on Discovery Go, and I'm trying to play catch up to get on to watch all these Shark Week shows, because, you know, I'm down there. We didn't turn the TV on once. And so, like, the only news you're getting is from your phone, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, whatever it is. So I'm watching TikToks, and there was one of these things on Shark Week. They put this dude in a glass box. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, so, like,
so I got a video I'm going to share with you as well. Keep going.
So they put this guy, I've seen it before. I think it was last year. They made like this 10-foot fake seal.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you can picture it, it had handles on it and it floated. And there was a bunch of sensors and stuff on it. But from the bottom, it looked like a shadow of a seal swimming at the top. But they put a man on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to get a great white shark to chase it. And it's tied to the boat, and it's basically just being towed behind. This guy's just riding, and freaking sharks are coming up, and like, super scary, right?
Yeah.
So this time, and this is based on what I saw from the TikToks I saw, they put the dude in like a plexiglass box where it's open at the top, but it's floating. So like, all the shark sees, he doesn't see the glass. He just sees the person in there. Little shark's kind of swimming around. It's a huge shark. Next thing you know, the shark comes up from the bottom, goes through the plexiglass.
Whoa.
Breaks the entire box apart, doesn't get to the guy, but knocks him completely out of the box. The guy is now scrambling, trying to put the box back together just so he has something to get back onto.
Yeah.
I mean, it was insane.
Holy crap.
It was insane. Like, and so I'm waiting. I haven't seen that show yet. I've only seen that clip. If you look it up.
Yeah, so I was listening to a guy talking about sharks, and he said, you know, had a little breathing issue. The cord went up. It got kinked, so he grabbed the backup tank. It was empty, so he was kind of in this panic, and it all happened in like a 15-second window. And one of the things he was taught that, like, if you leave the cage and go up, the sharks will see you as prey, and they'll attack you. So the awareness to get out, and if you swim toward the sharks or swim on their plane, they just think you're hanging out, so they leave you alone. So if you look like you're trying to get up, they'll attack. So it's probably that shark saw that guy in a vertical position and came up and thought he was food. But if you get horizontal, so he's talking about that, and I guess all these guys are like thrill seekers, and they swim with sharks, no cage, nothing. They're just out there swimming with sharks, and it's like a new game to see how close they can get. And then there's this girl, I don't know her name, Hawaiian diver swims with the biggest great white recorded.
Deep blue?
Yeah, big blue. So it shows her look swimming with this shark. And she's just swimming horizontal with it, just swimming around with it. And you see the whole, some of it, like, look at that. Just touching its fin.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows the whole camera crew, and they're all, you know, you can see them all swimming that way, just swimming with the shark. And
well, that size shark, they look like one of the remoras on the side of it. It's how small they are.
Yeah. So, and I'm not telling anybody if you're swimming with sharks to swim with them. But, yeah, that's what the experts say, right? So if you're in a panic and you need to survive a shark attack.
Look up shark breach glass box. I don't even know if that's what it is, but you got to see that. And I'll share it once I find it. But it's insane. So I'm playing catch up on Shark Week, trying to find that episode so I can kind of get the context of why they put some idiot in a glass box.
Is that it there? Maybe. Says shark breaks glass box.
That's it. It takes a little bit of time, but it's insane.
Yeah, it's like a 3-minute video. Yeah,
yeah, it's insane.
Fast forward. That's crazy.
So just make sure you check that out.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, back home, we have sports. So Deshaun Watson was given 6 games.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because where my head went with that first, and it's probably going to be some controversial stuff said here. But it is what it is, and I think we need to evaluate this on a couple different levels. So I'm going back to the abortion thing, and my knee-jerk thought on the abortion thing was like, well, I think the conversation that needs to happen first is society, where do we stand on the sanctity and the value of sex? Does it have meaning? Is it significant? Does it have value? Does it mean something to us in society anymore? And then we have to feed off of the answer to that. You know, if it's like, you know, I think people should be able to do whatever they want, whenever they want, with whoever they want. It's like, okay, so now you devalued what sex means. So now you have to take that answer and put in the, and some people say, no, you don't. It's completely different. I don't know that it is, because now you got to put into that mindset of sex, and you have to put it into the lane that Deshaun Watson goes. So now it's sexual assault. Well, you just said sex has no meaning to it. So what kind of assault is it? Is it physical assault? Is it battery? Like, what is it now? Because you just devalued it. So it's going to lose some of its significance, right? And then you have this entire argument in society of equality with men and women and gender, everything that goes on, right? And you need to cipher through that and discern, like, what is the difference? So it's like he assaulted a person or a woman. Like, to me, and I'll make it very clear, I think they need to absolutely drop a hammer on this dude, because I think sex is sacred, and I think there's a clear, defined line between men and women, and I think it's our responsibility to protect women. And for him to assault women, and sexually assault women, I think the ruling was an absolute joke. But collectively, I think when people are shell-shocked at what a petty sentence this was, it's like 6 games, it's like, well, look at what lane we live in life. I think we're being tolerant on a lot of things, and this is the outcome of our tolerance, is the punishment's not as severe. So you can, and it was a woman judge that sentenced it, and it's Roger Goodell that's saying, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I disagree with that sentence, and us as the NFL, we're going to countersue you guys, and we're going to drop the hammer on this guy.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. So kudos to Roger. Kudos to the NFL for disagreeing with this woman's decision to give this guy 6 games for – I mean, last I heard it was 26 offenses, but it's more than that. It's like, hold on. Like,
yeah.
Deshaun, like, you, and then somebody I was talking to about it. And it was like,
for the record, I did cut him on my fantasy team.
Good job.
We won't have that on my team.
No. A guy I was talking about, you know, in high school, he was the best. He was the lead. He was untouchable. In college, he was untouchable. And he's just so used to being the untouchable person that he just thinks he's untouchable. It's like, well, no, you're touched now. You know, it's caught up to you. And to hear this lady judge say 6 games, it's like, oh, now he still feels untouchable. At some point, they've got to drop the hammer. And at some point, I think society has to evaluate our tolerance, because our tolerance is going to affect the punishment of the crime.
But do you also think there were, I don't want to say games is probably a bad word, But his side of it, that side of it, was basically saying, okay, we know the NFL is going to do more. Here's where we're going to start, right? These were the negotiations. Here's where we're going to start. Six games. Knowing that the NFL is going to come back with...
Oh, it's like a negotiation.
Something crazy. Yeah. And then you end up with 8 games, 12 games. I mean, I would suspend him another year. Or suspend... I heard it today. Suspend him indefinitely. Make him reapply for reinstatement.
Yeah.
I mean... Ray Rice never played again.
Correct. Now, and then that goes into some of that popped in my head as well. Like, if Ray Rice would have knocked a dude out on an elevator,
he would have
been a couple games.
Maybe.
So, right? So where do we stand on... I know I'm treading on thin ice here, but... And I personally clearly see the difference, but collectively, society-wise, where do we stand the difference on equality? Like, if he knocks a dude out... He's like, come on, Ray, don't do that. Go ahead and suit up and get back out there. He knocks a girl out, and he got crushed,
yeah.
Which I think he deserved it, right? I think we need to protect our women. So in that case, the punishment, the crime fit the punishment. But, you know, fast forward to Deshaun Watson, and are we being too tolerant as a nation, as people collectively? Do we truly want equality?
But if you take all that stuff out of it, right? And just go strictly by precedent and by what has happened in the past.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger, one woman. I think he got 4 games. I could be wrong on the amount, right? But somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott, one woman. Same. 4 or 6 games, somewhere in there. Deshaun Watson.
We don't even know the number.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like 26 up to 30.
So, okay, fine. You take those other two. First offense, one woman. Again, not excusing the one woman, not minimalizing what actually happened.
Right.
But if you're just going off of the numbers, so. Modern day, I saw a meme. I got sent a meme to where... Somebody had Bill Cosby in a Cleveland Browns uniform playing quarterback for the Browns.
Oh, Mike Miller, Trevor Bauer.
Oh, he's been, yes, that's good, Mike. Because he's,
that's a good call, man.
He has been, Major League Baseball basically just banished him.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, NFL has taken more heat over their treatment of women than MLB ever has. Like, it's not even close. You think the NFL, and I think that's why Roger Goodell is like, whoa, I need to protect the shield. Because we've consistently taken heat over the way NFL players treat women. I don't like. There's nothing that jars my head that was a big topic in Major League Baseball with their violence and abuse toward women.
But even in that in the Bowers case, they just suspended him indefinitely, twice, basically. And again, I don't have all the facts. I'm sure people know more than me, but. He had a lot of evidence proving that the one woman was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was never charged. So the Bauer stuff is really...
Kobe Bryant with his...
Really confusing.
A lot of stuff came out on that was just like out of control with his rape situation.
Yeah.
With that girl finding multiple semen in her. Like, this is like, hold on. So, you know, with that being said, it's like you get to the backside of these stories, you find out, you know, where truth lies. That makes it worse for Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Because we're on the backside of this, and you're not looking any better.
No.
Like, it's all coming to truth.
And when he gets suspended, how good does that look for Cleveland? It's a lot. So, anyway, the Reds had a fire sale this weekend.
Yeah.
It's the first time I followed it. And I didn't really follow it. It was like... I'd see the headline pop up. Castillo traded. Drury traded. Pham traded. Malley traded.
Is this a real life version of the movie Major League?
Yeah, pretty much. And they've actually, with all those guys gone, they've taken over sole possession of third place.
Here's an interesting theory. Is Joey Votto cursed? Is there a Votto curse to where talent around him, people just get rid of it?
No.
I like Joey Votto. I'm a big fan. I'm glad he's a Red. But is there something there that every time we get talent?
It's called money.
Fair enough.
He makes it all.
Fair enough. All right.
You know, that's probably the biggest
thing. Curse.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? 2 years ago, the COVID shortened year, they should have won the World Series. They were the best team. Failed. Back in, I don't know, 2012, I think. Best team in baseball. Win two games against the Giants. All they needed to do was win one more. Fail. So, Votto was on both those teams.
Yeah, okay.
So they had opportunities.
It was just a knee-jerk thought experiment that I had just popped in my head. Just talent, and he's still around. And yeah, again, I like him. It's just, why?
Well, but apparently the haul that they got back from all these trades, apparently it's pretty good. So time will tell in a couple years.
Yep.
You know, these guys come up, they play well, and we have to trade them too. You know, who knows? We'll see how it works out. In the meantime, we're sitting down in Panama City in between games. We were playing a doubleheader last Tuesday, and I get a text. Burrow out indefinitely with appendicitis. I'm like, huh. And I just looked at him like, that kind of sucked, but appendicitis. Well, good thing to have it now as opposed to in the middle of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Get it taken care of. Get it out. Bengals training camp has started. Preseason game is the 12th or 13th. So yeah. Looking forward to that. Jesse Bates still hasn't shown up. He's the lone holdout. Man, I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited. I'm not excited about my fantasy football team. Not excited about it. And I'm sure as we get closer, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. But this is the 1 year in our league. I'm the commissioner. We're like, you thought the Reds had a fire sale? Oh, no. My team, no shot. Like, it's bad. It's going to be bad. I know.
Is that the new names, the Tolby no shots?
It could be. It could be. We'll see. We'll see.
The fire sale no shots?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a great fantasy name.
Terrible, terrible team. We do a salary cap, and like when your people get too high salary-wise, you tend to let them go. I kind of made some moves to kind of go for it last year, and all it's going to do is just kill me this year because I didn't win it last year.
Right.
And I'm going to struggle. I'm basically going to pay for the sins that I made a year ago. So we'll see. I don't know. With that, we got college football coming up.
Yeah, we got UMass football coming up. I'm wearing my UMass gear today because so excited. Yesterday, we got the schedule for Page's softball season.
Yeah, already?
Yes. Usually, it comes out over the wintertime, and we're kind of like scrambling together on because all three kids are full throttle in the spring. Audrey's synchro season's up and running. Competition's there. Grace, she's got the winter ensemble, so they do all of their percussion competitions are in the spring, running pretty deep into that. And then obviously softball is spring season. So it's when we're waiting on that schedule, it's like, man, we're eyeballing weekends of like what we want to happen, right? Like be here, be there, yeah. Do this, do that. And, you know, we've got it already. And it was like, yeah. And what's awesome is, so they came to Dayton last year, and usually they go back and forth every year. So they're back in Dayton this year, and it's March 25th, 26th weekend, which is Audrey's Sweet 16. So Paige will be in Dayton for that weekend, and we'll get to go up, and Audrey will get to celebrate Sweet 16 with the whole family. So, yeah, that's cool. You know, we're excited for that. And
gives us some time to plan ahead.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, and the other thing, we're kind of crossing our fingers, like, well, what if Audrey has a swim meet in Columbus that weekend? So it's
like, which is bound to happen.
Yeah. So we're still eyeballing that, but nah, they go down to Central Florida, which their team is, you know, top 25. You know, they had one of the best pitchers in the country last year. Then they go down to Charleston Southern, which I'm mapping these things up. And Charleston Southern is north of North Charleston.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
None. So we'll probably drive down there and watch that weekend. Then they go to Florida State, which Florida State was, you know, top two in the country all year last year, so they'll get to see that competition. Then they go to East Carolina, and these are all like the preseason, not preseason, because it counts on their record, so it's part of their season, but it's just when the weather is not good for anybody. Yeah. So everybody goes down and does like a four-team round robin, and you got a host school that, you know, has all these teams come in, and then they start their conference schedule, and it's good to see her coming back to Dayton this year, so we can go up and see them play there, and the Atlantic 10 tournaments in Fordham, which is like the Bronx, New York, which kind of sucks because we like to go to that, and I don't know if I want to deal with downtown New York to go watch ball. We got the fall schedule as well, and I think October 8th we're going to head up because they got the alumni game, and then they got like a big fundraising golf outing, so I'll get up there and talk to a couple dads and swing my hybrid. Putt with my hybrid.
Hockey.
So, yeah, that's exciting, man. That's why I'm wearing the UMass gear, because that was news yesterday, and we're pumped up that schedule's out and excited to follow Don Brown and UMass football on their
But not just Don game. Brown. Don't forget who the basketball coach is.
Yes. We'll get close to that in the wintertime.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
Frank's the man. Frank Martin is the man.
So, UMass.
Yeah. I'm on board. Second favorite team. So, we've got, you know, we're August 4th. What do we got this week? What do we got coming up?
Two listings hit the market today. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just get so caught up in work, and that's it, really. Just, like I said earlier, I'm heading out of town, heading to Boone this weekend to enjoy that time away, and I'll be on the phone, sitting in the mountains, sitting on a deck, looking over, taking phone calls, trying to wheel and deal and get some houses sold, and reconvene next week.
It's what we do, right? So it's funny, I made the joke when we lost in front of the parents, like, hey, thank you parents, and that part wasn't a joke, but thank you parents for everything you've done. For those of you that are returning next year, season starts next week. And like, here we are, like, today we have our first tryout tonight.
All right,
so 2022 ended less than a week ago. 2023, there's no, you got to go.
Yeah.
Got to go. Take your 2 or 3 days, organize it, and got to get ready for the next thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we get back, and Austin's playing football for the middle school, which I love football in middle school. You know, Blake's playing select soccer, so he's got practice. So it's like we literally, our schedules did not miss
one. Didn't miss a beat.
No. It's like, do this. Okie doke. Just tell me where I have to be and when I need to be there, and let's get it going.
That's it, man.
With that being said, that's the end of today. I got nothing else.
Thank you guys for listening in, and you know the couple of average, above average,
we're great.
We're excellent,
above average
Midwest gentlemen,
handsome. Brainiacs.
Just navigating our way through life with this neuroscience brains that we've stumbled upon. Yeah.
So it's good. It's good to be back. Hopefully we're getting back on a somewhat normal schedule. Special guest next week, hoping to have our friend from White Oak Productions, Tommy Watkins, on to talk about life, talk about the Amanda Watkins Dunn volleyball tournament, which takes place next Friday and Saturday at Knotty Pine Sports Bar, which I will be there Friday night. We got the times. I play Friday night if we win. We play again Saturday. Later on in the day, if we lose, we play like at 11:30 on Saturday. So we will be rocking there, and I'm going to hit him up as well next week. So we'll be back next Tuesday?
Sure.
Next Tuesday.
Hopefully. No, I'll be out of town. We're coming home Tuesday.
Okay, so
next Thursday again.
So next Thursday, we'll be rocking again. I'm going to hit Tommy up to make sure that potentially can sit down and interview some people at Knotty Pine Friday, kind of as we're getting set up. So until that time, we are out of here.
See you.